the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by, and feed them on your dreams, the one they picked, the one you love.
In this January edition of Education Now, I focus on California public schools and the Common Core. My first guest is Heather Poland. I sent an email to Heather telling her I wanted to do interviews for Education Now with California public school teachers regarding Common Core and Governor Brown's decision to drop STAR testing, and I am so happy she agreed to join me for an interview with this focus. Heather is a teacher and mom to 5-year-old twin girls. She is a graduate of San Diego State University. She has been teaching for 12 years and has a multiple subject teaching credential, single subject English credential, reading specialist credential, and a master's degree in curriculum and design. Most of her teaching experience has been at the middle school level in low-income socioeconomic areas. Heather is also an education activist and is involved in United Opt Out, which, you know, we have had United Opt Out interviews on Education Now, and she is a proud member of the Badass Teachers Association. Hello, Heather, and welcome to Education Now. I want you to know I also had twins, but they were boys.
Oh, thank you.
Well, could you please tell our listeners how you feel about STAR testing being dropped in the state of California?
Well, at first I was very happy. I do not like all the time that's being spent on testing instead of learning, and students always felt a lot of pressure for doing well on the test. And I thought, even if it's just for a couple of years, it will give us a break, it'll be nice. Then I discovered that Jerry Brown was actually expanding the field test for the new Smarter Balanced Common Core test. So we won't have the old STAR test, but students will be taking the new Common Core test that's much harder. It's not finalized yet, and also students will not get any scores from it because it's a field test.
So how do you feel about the Common Core?
I don't like it at all. First of all, no teachers help to write these so-called standards. And why should anyone trust something that had zero input from the professionals who teach children every day? Common Core was developed in order for the testing and curriculum companies to make more money and to further privatize public education.
I have talked to some teachers on the university level who teach teachers, and one of them in particular is just thrilled with the math science area. And others who teach teachers that I've talked to are just disgusted with the language area of Common Core. And but I've also heard from both of these teachers that they want to wait and see, because this is just a test run. It's not, you know, going to count. It's not going to really hurt the children because it's not going to count. And so, you know, that's the feedback, you know, that I'm getting. But in the area, you know, in the teaching in an area which, you know, where you have English learners, is that right?
Yes. mostly English language learners.
English language learners, and who are in the lower socioeconomic brackets. Is that right?
Yes.
I can understand that there could be some concern. Is there any way that these tests will be weighted to take that information into consideration?
Well, this year it's just the field test, so the company that wrote the Smarter Balance, they're just using it to see how the test goes. They piloted it last year, and then this year, just about all the students in grades 3 through 8 will be taking it, and then selected grades in high school. And they're just going to use that information internally to inform, I guess, where they go with the test. So the public and parents and students won't get any information at all. So it's kind of like they're using our children as free labor, basically.
And they're test rabbits. Yeah. Well, do you feel there will be consequences from the federal level because California dropped STAR testing?
Well, I know that Arne Duncan has threatened California. That was a few months ago. I think that if he actually withheld money, he would end up looking bad because you don't want to withhold money from kids who need it. So I don't think he will, but I don't know. We'll have to see.
Yeah, I have heard that they're going to look. I have heard that they're going to look the other way, and just let it fly. And I, that's the only thing that I've really heard, or a lot of I don't knows. I don't know. So now you teach middle school, so you've got teenagers, right?
Yes.
And I know that all of the research, of course, and I know that the people who are making these tests do not look at any developmental information. But I know that developmentally, children who are in middle school or teenagers, they need as much sleep as toddlers.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't need stress. Stress is really difficult for them. And so it seems that, I was really excited when they were going to be dropping the STAR testing, because I thought, oh man, that's really going to be great for those teenagers, who are really, their needs aren't being met. And then when I heard about the Common Core, I thought, oh, gee, I'm really happy that Jerry Brown is saying no to STAR testing. But I just don't know about the Common Core, which is why the Board of Education now said, Athena, please try and interview some teachers in California and find out how they're feeling about this, dropping the STAR testing, but doing the Common Core. And I said, I will do it. I will try to find teachers to speak to this issue. And a lot of teachers that I have approached have said, I don't want to talk about this until after this experiment, because it's really not going to count. And others have said, do you have a particular perspective on this? Are you looking for a particular perspective? And I'm like, no, I'm not looking for a particular perspective. I'm looking for a number of opinions. But a lot of times when people ask me about perspective, it makes me feel that they're taking this term relative to the extreme. Because, there is a truth. whether we want to acknowledge it or not, because relative doesn't mean anything if it can't be if there's no such thing as an absolute. And I think people throw that around, you know, like, oh, well, it's all relative. Well, but no, there is a truth. Now, I particularly believe that testing, the star testing, is terrible for kids. I'm just outraged by it because I, of course, read all the developmental research and have for years, and those are experts in my opinion, and I just don't know why the reformers, or I call them deformers, in public education aren't going there for information. And, you know, there's all of this stuff now about how important not just sleep is for middle school kids, but how important going outside and using your imagination is. And so, you know, to me, it's like, there's not a perspective. We need to find the truth here. I mean, and if you talk to teachers and experts in education, they will tell you what's coming down, and it just doesn't seem to be that they're listening. Now, in your particular school, and I know you don't want to talk, tell us what school you're working in there in San Diego, but do you find that the majority of teachers agree with you?
That's a good question. A lot of teachers all over the country are scared of sharing their opinion. Because they're scared of what administration might do, or just scared of what could happen. So a lot of teachers aren't really speaking out. I think more are now. At my school, I think some teachers are pretty informed about the Common Core, and a lot aren't, so I've been trying to talk to them about what's been happening nationally, and I think that helps.
Yes, that does help. And I know that what happened in New York with Christie and, I mean, principals who spoke out, administrators who spoke out about their schools being taken over by these chain charter schools, were fired. And I was like, no wonder teachers are terrified to talk about this. I mean, if administrators and principals can be fired, I mean, it's just so outrageous what's going on. It is outrageous. And so you say you're a proud member of the Badass Teachers Association. Could you tell our listeners what the Badass Teachers Association is?
Sure. It's an organization that was started this past July. We have now grown to over 36,000 members. We are against the Common Core, against all high-stakes testing, and against the corporate takeover and privatization of public education.
Right. Yes, and I can say that I am also a member of the Badass Teachers Association, and I agree with all of that. I do, but relative is being abused, the term, and people are using it like they don't even understand that you can't just kind of do away with things that are absolute. I feel that it's the same problem with charter schools. That when charter schools really started, they started as a way of finding innovation in public education. I know myself, as a person who's concerned about the environment, that a lot of these school buildings are very old, with really huge, high, tall ceilings that cost a fortune to heat. They are also not really welcoming and warm. And so finding a different, you know, physical location, one that used alternative energy and that was more conducive to smaller class sizes and more intimate, I favor that. And I think that, and I also favor that teachers who, you know, the parents have a choice of philosophy of education. In Palo Alto, California, which is a model district, and of course they never went with Proposition 13 here in California, they kept their state their taxes, property taxes, going to education. But they have a variety of choices. You have a variety of choices of philosophy of education for your child. So you choose that, and then your child goes to that school. And I think that that's great. I mean, if that's what was going on in reform, I would support it totally. And a lot of these charter schools got started by teachers and parents who had the same goal in mind, which was find a location that is conducive, that really, you know, you show that you're conscious of what's going on in the environment, and that you have small class size, and where, you know, the children can do like hands-on, and you know, where you can offer the whole ball of wax, the arts aren't neglected, and movement is encouraged. Those charter schools, I really love them. But they're put in the same bag by many people as these chain charter schools like KIPP, you know, and they are not the same. They are not the same of, you know, privatizing education. You know, they are not. And those kinds of distinctions need to be made. And when I see even a badass teachers association not making those distinctions, then it's upsetting.
Yeah, I think we are in a unique situation in California. A lot of the policies come to us, just kind of trickle down from the East Coast. And in most of the country, these charter schools are these for-profit chain charter schools that just are coming in and taking over and taking money away from public education. And, of course, that wasn't the original intent for charter schools, but the education reformers saw a way to make money. In California, I think there's a small number of these teacher-led charter schools that are good, but there's still a huge amount of the for-profit ones. And then the parent trigger law is concerning. And there are organizations with that who go around, and their goal is to turn the school into a for-profit charter, and they have to collect signatures, and so they go, and they lie to the parents and just say, oh, do you want to make your school better? If so, sign here. And that's how that's been working.
Yes, I know that they're playing those people who are milking the public system. Those people like the testing companies, like Pearson. These people have absolutely no idea how children learn. They've taken the entire concept of individualized education out of, you know, it doesn't exist. And they are the same people that publish the textbooks. Textbooks that don't even mention global warming. And yet they can be called science. You see, so it's a huge, these people are very powerful. And, you know, it's a huge, and they're all, and they're all in the same, you know, it's all the same. They're the same people that are taking money away from public education and away from the schools and children and the teachers, and that have become this defamation of character of teachers. It's so disgusting and so sad. And I often wonder, where are the unions? Now, it seems to me that when all of this first got started, that if the unions had said, no, we will not go along with this because it's against best practices, and gotten into the fray. But, you know, now I see that at least in Chicago, the unions are trying to fight back. But where were they in the very beginning? Do you have any comment on that?
Well, I think in the very beginning with the Common Core standards, not many people were really informed about it. I think maybe people thought that, oh, it's coming later. We don't have to worry about it. As for the unions, I mean, they haven't said, they've been pretty silent. I think that more teachers need to get involved with their unions and make their voices heard. And I think that will help to get out of the planet.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if they, where were they, where are they in New York with Christie, with these teachers that were, and these principals and administrators that were canned? Why wasn't the union voice out there strong? You know, that's my thought. And of course, yes, they haven't spoken out about the Common Core, but the testing, the STAR testing, which has been going on now for years, which is totally goes, what you're taught when you go to become a teacher is that, you know, there are these goals that the, that you can't treat a child that goes, if it goes against the best interest of the child, then you can't do it. Best, and it's called best practices. And that's a part of what you learn when you become a public school teacher, is best practices. In Montessori, we call it, you know, the normalized. But, you know, best practices. So STAR testing has been around since I pulled my kids out of school. And at that time, I was even like, where are the unions? Why aren't they speaking out for the children? Who is speaking out for the children? Why are we going along? Why are they going along? I know that in some public schools, you weren't even allowed to tell the parents, and I think this is in most public schools, that they had a choice not to test.
Mm-hmm.
Because...
Yeah, and parents need to know that they can opt out of the test. It is currently in California Ed Code that parents can opt their children out of any assessments without negative repercussions. And UnitedOptOut.com has a lot more information on that.
Yes, they do. Yes, I'm so glad that they exist, because now more and more people are understanding that as parents, they should have the last say on what happens to their children. And I think in Seattle, teachers came out strong last year on this issue. And it was a wonderful thing to see. It's just taking so, so long. Well, is there something you would like more to leave with our listeners about education, about STAR testing or the Common Core, before we say goodbye?
Yeah, I just want parents to know, again, that they can opt their children out of the test. It's especially important this year because it is the new Common Core test, and they're not going to get scores anyway. They parents just need to write a letter, and there's some sample letters on UnitedOptOut.com. And more parents need to start speaking up and opting out, and just become informed and opt out.
Yeah, I agree with you. Well, I thank you so much, Heather, for talking to me today, and I'm really looking forward to sharing this interview and others with my listeners, and I thank your family for sharing you with me on, we're talking, I want our listeners to know, we're talking on a Sunday on a 3-day weekend, and it's just so kind of Heather to take her time and share it with all of us. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me.
Bye-bye now.
Bye.
Continuing with this January edition of Education Now and our focus on California public schools and the Common Core, my second guest is Tina Andres. Heather led me to Tina for interviews on Education Now with California public school teachers regarding Common Core and Governor Brown's decision to drop STAR testing, and I am delighted she agreed to join me for an interview with this focus. Tina is a middle school math teacher. She teaches a full range of students, from honors level to special education students. She has many ELL, or English language learners, as well. Because Tina works in Santa Ana, which is a predominantly Hispanic, low-income district, this is why she has many English language learners. She has been teaching for 26 years, 5 years at the beginning of her career in elementary. She spent much of her career training math teachers, and she is satisfied now with training several student teachers each year. She has 2 children in public schools, one in grade 2 and the other in grade 4. She wrote me that she works at a fabulous school, and she is also a union representative for her school. Tina is a graduate of National University of California. So hello, Tina, and welcome to Education Now.
Hello, thank you.
I'm just so pleased to have you here. And you just sounds like you're a well-seasoned public school teacher.
It's been a long time.
With a lot of experience, right?
Yes, yes.
Yeah. Well, could you please tell our listeners how you feel about STAR testing being dropped in the state of California?
Actually, I feel like it's somewhat of an inconsequential decision at this point. We're being set up and prepared for a totally different kind of testing, and testing teachers for the state standards as they stand is not really going to be that effective, considering we've all moved to Common Core standards.
Right. So they've dropped the STAR testing, which is a good thing, but really it doesn't make that big of a difference, is what you're saying.
Exactly. I'm more fearful about what's coming after
So how do you feel about the Common Core?
I think there's a lot of interest involved in the Common Core, and most of those are not teachers and educators and child development specialists. They are corporate interests, and that's really what's the driving force behind Common Core at this point.
Right. So they're corporate interests like the Bill Gates.
Exactly. There are corporations that stand to make millions, if not billions, of dollars off of the technology, the testing, and the curriculum that will be pushed
right
to Common Core.
And, of course, these same people, I know from my research, that developed these, the STAR testing and the Common Core, are the very same people that published the textbooks. Those textbooks that, you know, don't really... They don't have the people's history in them, and they don't even mention global warming and look at what a condition that we're in. And so we have gone from local control of our schools. Now, see, it seemed to me from reading an article with an interview from Jerry Brown, from Governor Brown, that he was saying he wants to drop this testing, and that he really feels like the feds and the state should stay out of it, and it should be local, and that local school districts and teachers and the principals should have control over their own schools. I like that.
Yeah, and it's a bit confusing, as the state has pushed relentlessly towards Common Core, which is the opposite of local control.
Right, so it's a contradiction, and
yes.
Now some, you know, I was told that these Common Core, the test, this first time is not even going to count.
Yes, and that's another baffling thing to me, especially because parents are not aware of this. For the most part, the parents that I know of are not even aware that the STAR testing is being eliminated,
and they're accustomed to receiving a report on their student scores every year. This year, I'm under the impression that the state is going to be paying the company per test to give a pilot test to the students that teachers and students and parents will never see any results for. I have a big problem with that.
Yes, it sounds like throwing money at some strange objective. Now, do you suppose they're going to use it to assess the test, and that's why the feds are going are long? I mean, if I'm going to give them good motives, which it's really difficult to do, given that they have been the defamation of character of teachers, even a teacher with your background, with your credentials, who is a mentor to other teachers. They don't ask you your opinion.
In fact, I would say that Common Core was something that I heard about and only heard about after it had been officially adopted by the state of California. Teachers were never involved in any of this decision-making.
And how about the unions? You say you're a union representative. How about the unions? Have they said, we refuse?
Absolutely not. I believe Bill Gates has given millions of dollars to our unions in order to push Common Core. And the unions seem somewhat all in on Common Core, at least at the state and federal level. Teachers haven't had the time to process. It's been essentially shoved down their throats. So taking the time to process something that's already been adopted is a difficult thing.
Yes, it is.
It's hard to push against it.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like it, Tina. It just sounds, I have been annoyed because the unions didn't take a strong stand when STAR testing first happened. They didn't say, I'm sorry, but all of the teacher training programs are concerned with best practices.
Yes.
And STAR testing doesn't support best practices, so we refuse.
I frequently deal with that with student teachers. We have some wonderful teacher training programs in the state through the universities. And often there's a disconnect between what the student teachers are being taught in their classes and what they actually see in the classroom when they come out to do their student teaching, because they are not told about the incessant test prep and testing, benchmark testing, preparation for CST testing that must be done, that teachers are forced to do. And so their reality is much different when they arrive in the classroom.
Yes, it is. It's much, much different. And then before even the Common Core came up, teachers have told me, and here on Education Now, they have said it, that, they were told that they couldn't even tell the parents that they could opt out of STAR testing.
No, we've never been able to do that.
They weren't to bring it up. Don't bring it up. Now, I mean, that is really terrible. I mean, good grief.
Our training is not that we are specifically not allowed to state that as an option.
But these are not the state's children. That's it's not sweet at all.
It's really a frightening direction that we're headed in, particularly because the Common Core standards were not piloted. They weren't tested. We have no information, no research that they're effective or that they'll do what they say they're going to do. We're just throwing them out there all over the country, and everybody's a guinea pig.
Right.
I mean, I would be the first one to want to pilot something, try it out, see how it works, make some adjustments, move some things around, figure out what's best for kids. But we're not allowed to do that.
Yeah. And do you feel there will be consequences from the federal level for dropping the STAR testing?
I think that remains to be seen. I don't think Governor Brown is a fan of Arne Duncan, which I see as a generally positive thing.
Yes.
I think they I think they're threatening those kinds of consequences as far as Title I funding, but I don't think they'll be able to really back those up. And we're only a little over a year towards taking the SBAC test and having those results count. So I'd rather not even focus on the dropping of the STAR test right now. Maybe something will happen. I'm not sure what. But we're headed, this train is headed in a direction right now. And the CFTs are over. That's not going to happen. It doesn't make sense for that to happen. But where we're headed is more frightening. Because I think it will continue, the double down on test scores being the most important thing in education will continue to cut arts, will continue to cut anything that isn't tested.
Right. And do you think that they will go with testing kindergartners here in California?
The plan is to test grades 3 through 8 and grade 11 as of now with the SBAC testing. But my fear is how testing gets pushed down into the grade levels as they try to prepare the kids for testing. You have a requirement that third graders are able to keyboard. And if third graders must type at a certain number of words per minute, then you're going to have to start teaching keyboarding in kindergarten. So the consequences of what the test is more important than what grade level they start in. As of now, I don't think they start in kindergarten, but of course, districts will implement all sorts of test prep beginning in kindergarten. They already do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I have had guests on Education Now where we've talked about media and education, and it is true that there are teachers who really are not as efficient on the web as some of their students. And, you know,
well, there's a learning curve with a lot of teachers, but generally I think teachers are becoming more computer proficient. The computer skills required on these tests are outrageous. My students took the pilot test for the SBAC, and actually my own son took it too. And the reactions of those students when they don't have the preparation dealing with the computer and the way that the computer program for the test requires them to respond makes it all even more challenging and frustrating for the students, especially for students like those in my district who don't have computer access at home, many of them. And even in our schools, you know, my particular school has very little computers for the students to use. So where they're supposed to get that training is another story. And then what are you testing? Are you testing their math knowledge, their language arts ability, or are you testing their computer technology ability? There's going to be two different things going on there.
Right. Do you feel that it's going to be more difficult for your English language learners to do this Common Core testing than it would be if they were English language speaking and proficient in the English language?
Well, absolutely, but it's always been that way. Testing has always been difficult for students who don't speak the language. It's so obvious. But right. This is even more difficult. The type of testing requires written responses. It requires understanding of the English language and directions at a much higher level than the CFT testing.
Yes.
Most of the questions, I can tell you, my students and even my son, who is a very high achiever, he was baffled as to what the question was actually asking.
Well, I saw a sample that really upset me on the test that was like, I have a dream that all of the children in America will, you know, exceed in education, you know, and then it was a quote of Bill Gates. And I thought, this is pure propaganda. Why should our students be reading this?
I personally have seen some of those types of examples in some of the materials. I kind of would prefer to stick to the math since that's what I know the most about, and I haven't seen the testing in the other areas.
Right. So how do you feel about the math?
Well, I'm a little confused as to how these standards are being interpreted for the testing and for the published curriculum that I'm seeing that has come out already. I see a disconnect between what the actual standard says and how the standard is being presented. They're asking kids at a very young age, first grade, second grade, to do things with numbers prior to them having an actual sense of what addition, subtraction, or even learning those basic facts are. They're asking them to use facts that they don't have and that no one has ever taught them. So that the level, the higher level thinking skills are, number one, developmentally inappropriate for many of those questions. A child simply can't think in that manner. And to ask them to do it is setting them up for failure. And that's my biggest fear, is that we're being set up for failure. And, of course, the curriculum companies, the testing companies, the push towards closing schools across the nation, none of that can happen unless they prove we're a failure. And this really puts proving us to be a failure on the fast track.
I know someone else who teaches math in preparing teachers on the college level, and she's really excited about the math science portion of the Common Core. She just feels like it's great, and I said, oh, but I just am hearing terrible things about it from people who teach language. She said, well, I don't know about that, but I don't want to talk about the Common Core in the math science because I really think it's good, Athena.
Well, it kind of tells me what she's thinking when she says she doesn't know about that, because generally anybody who's a college math professor most likely doesn't know very much about child development and about very young kids and about elementary school and how kids learn math. And for them to be commenting on that without actually knowing about it is a little troublesome.
No. She was saying she supports the math portion of the Common Core.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. What does she have to support it with? Where did she get that from? Did she study them at the elementary level? Did she study child development?
Yes, she has. And I can really say that this person knows her stuff, and she knows how important it is to use manipulatives. She knows how, I have no question about the quality of this person's teaching ability and the students that she's prepared to teach. They're all doing fantastically well. And when she looked at the Common Core, the math and the science, she just felt it was a really great improvement over the STAR testing and was very supportive.
I understand what you're saying, and part of that really angers me because we've been put in a situation in California for years where year after year we've gradually gone to more and more test prep. And that is now being blamed on teachers. I have taught and trained teachers to use manipulatives and conceptual understanding and to really get the kids to think for years. This is not new. I've been doing this since the beginning. I was trained by some of the best from the NCTM standards, and we've always taught kids for critical thinking and for deep conceptual understanding. However, these standards are not doing that. They're asking kids to do things that are developmentally not going to work for them. And part of my problem, again, is that you can't specifically point to one standard and say this is developmentally inappropriate. It's the interpretation that's coming across in the curriculum, in the testing. It's the method of questioning that goes way beyond what a child is able to do at that particular age level, particularly in the first through fourth grades, from what I've seen so far.
Right. Well, I come from a tradition where it's individualized. So, you would not take away concrete materials until the child had abstracted in the Piagetian sense in terms of math and science. You would not take those manipulatives away, and you would go gradually from a more concrete to still concrete, but a little bit more abstract, but there'd still be materials and manipulatives to work with. So I come from that tradition, and you would be following that individual child, which of course means you have to have a small class size, and if it's going to be individualized. So I am I am in a you know, from the opinion that public schools need to get back to where they were a long time ago, before Ronald Reagan. In California, our schools in California were second only to New York. And I have just recently read how the SAT scores were higher for those of us who experienced public school in the 50s and 60s than they are now. If this testing was really working, then that wouldn't be the case. And why? Because developmentally, these kids aren't moving. They're not being allowed to move around, let alone critically think.
We also have a significant problem with the idea of grade level standards in the first place. Kids are very unique. They're very individual. And saying that all six-year-olds will know this and will do this is generally bad practice.
Oh, yes. Yes, it goes against best practices. It goes against everything we're teaching teachers. And it's just, I really think it's criminal what's happening. I really think if the unions were on the side of the teachers and the students, there'd be a huge lawsuit right now. There'd be a huge lawsuit. And you'd have the parents behind you, or the majority of them that aren't, you know, like trying to get money from the system so that they can teach religion. And these chain charter schools that are privatizing our schools. I mean, there is so much that the unions could do with the power that they have. And I just, it just is driving me crazy that they're not doing it, Tina. I just don't understand. I want to understand, but I don't.
I can't say that I'm not frustrated with some of the stances of my union, but I do think that a lot of people give unions more credit for what they have control over than they actually do have. You know, as a teacher, I have a job and I have a boss, and the district is my boss. The union is not my boss. The district tells me what I will teach and what the curriculum will be. Essentially, unions don't have a say in that. Unions deal with work conditions. They deal with work hours. They try to have some influence in those areas, but they do not have the control in those areas. That control comes from the state, from the district, from the feds, from all over. So I kind of disagree that unions really are going to be able to have a significant role in the area of curriculum.
Well, I support the unions 100%. I mean, there's no question about that, and there's no question that these corporations are after the unions as well.
Of course they are.
Yeah, but I still feel that if the unions, I feel like in Chicago, we're seeing the unions take a stronger stand. And in Massachusetts, we're seeing, and here in New York, too, now, administrators and principals, they were fired for speaking up for parents and for teachers. So this fight is going to go on, but how to inform the public when we can't get National Public Radio, which is supposed to be speaking for us, to even have the teachers and the experts on?
Well, it's follow the money. Follow the money and the influence that comes with that money.
Yeah, well, that's why I'm trying to do this, and I'm trying to understand, because I really do believe in public education. And once I closed my private school, because I took my kids out of school, not for religious reasons, but because I wanted them to have what we had, and I knew they weren't going to get it. And there was no money in it. But then when I retired, it was like, I have got to work for public education. I mean, if I had lived in Palo Alto, I wouldn't have worried. There are some districts still that, you know, they do what they want. They know that the teacher is the curriculum. The teacher is the common core.
Well, and I think we're very disjointed in California, much more so than many of the other states. We're a little bit behind in the implementation of Common Core, and the word has not necessarily gotten out about how Common Core came to be. Parents are unaware, and a lot of teachers are unaware. They're just being told, this is what we're doing, and they're going to trainings, and they're being set up at this point to implement this thing that they really don't understand much about.
Right. Or a lot of teachers from Teach for America are being brought in, and teachers who are well seasoned like you are being let go, and then these young people from Teach for America are coming in, and they don't really even want a career in teaching, or many of them don't. It's just something to do till they do what they want to do.
And this all goes back to the unions and destroying the unions and actually destroying the teaching profession in general.
Right.
It has a lot to do with money again. It's going to be a lot easier for the companies, the corporations that want public education dollars to take those dollars if teachers become essentially test monitors. If teachers become the person standing in the front of the room with 75 students all sitting on a computer. And if, as crazy as that sounds, I believe that is the direction that many of these people want us to go into.
It's so sad. Do you have some suggestions for parents or other professionals about what they can do to stem this tide?
I think one of the things that the parents need to do is they need to demand the kind of education that they want their child to have. When they see arts cut, when they see PE cut, when they see recess cut, they have to be extremely vocal. Teachers' voices are just a small part. Parent voices are listened to, at least in my experience from my district and my state. It's the parents that are going to be the ones that can stop some of the negative direction that we're headed in.
And do you think in a district that you teach in, where there are a lot of English language learners, that the parents understand and can go and demand, that they have a voice?
No, I don't think they're prepared to do that. I don't think they know how to do that. They're not knowledgeable about the system and how it works. And that's why, if you look even all around the country, where do the most egregious things happen? They happen in the low-income districts.
That's right.
Where parents are maybe busy working, busy trying to feed their families, and are trusting the schools to do what's best for their kids. Those schools are primed for takeover and for horrible policies.
Yes, they
are.
These
things don't happen. These things do not happen in the higher-income districts.
No, they don't. No, they don't. I know that for a fact, and it's good to hear you say it, because my audience has heard me say it a lot. People,
and I'm not saying in any way that the parents in my district don't care. They do care. There are great families. There are great parents who want to support teachers and want to support their schools, but they just are not knowledgeable about how to do that.
Yeah, I understand. I understand that they're not knowledgeable, and a lot of times, do they have time?
Exactly.
Do they have time? And so where is the voice for them? Where is the organizer who can go in there and help them understand? That's what needs to happen before of course they all become privatized and part of these chain charter schools. I went into a lot of that with Heather, so I won't go there with you, but I just what's happening in areas of poverty is just so sad. I mean, it's bad enough that they can't get fresh food because on every corner practically is a liquor store instead of a grocery store, and that they're told they can't grow food. But, then there's no libraries, there's no books, it's just pathetic what is happening. And I just feel like they're going to need help from all of us to get organized. I don't know how that can happen, but it certainly needs to happen.
Yes, it does.
Yeah. Well, I thank you so very much for your taking your time here. I want our listeners to know I'm talking to you on Martin Luther King's birthday here Monday afternoon. And I thank you so much for helping me put this show together. The Board of Education Now said, Athena, could you please do a show on the Common Core and California, and if there's going to be consequences coming down the pike from the federal government if we drop the STAR testing, and how teachers are feeling about all of this. And so I'm trying to fill that request, and I just thank you so much, Tina, for your time.
Thank you.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Once again, I want to thank Heather Poland and Tina Andres for agreeing to speak on the issue of Governor Brown's decision to drop STAR testing and embracing the Common Core, and what the consequences from the federal level might be for dropping the STAR testing, or perhaps there won't be any consequences. I also asked Amy Pearlstein, who is a seasoned teacher teaching in Riverside, to speak to this issue, but she was not able to join us. However, she wrote to me and said that I could quote her. So here is Amy's quote. "I am thrilled about the STAR testing going away and excited about the CCSS when it comes to my proficient, advanced, and gifted students. Not so much for my very low kids, the English learners and special needs. This year, I have been able to teach more of the way I used to in whatever way is best for kids and bring in other sources like videos, articles, etc. I am sure, as it is in districts, they will want more control over how I teach. In the meantime, I feel that I have way more flexibility this year than I have for many years. Amy." And I thank you so much, Amy, for writing so I could include that in this broadcast. Cited in this interview, and you can Google these pages, California Governor Jerry Brown opposed to testing. That was in the Washington Post. You can Google United Opt Out National, and they will tell you how you can opt out of high stakes testing as well as Common Core. And so that's UnitedOptOut.com. Newark principal speaks out and gets suspended. And that was in an Education Week blog. So if you Google that, Education Week, Newark principal speak out and get suspended. And, of course, give childhood back to children. This is a really important one. It was in the Independent UK. And so Google that, give childhood back to children. And Students in Poverty, an article by Stephen Krashen, who tells us so much about the links between schools, librarians, and the lack of them, and children in poverty. And everything you need to know about the Common Core, that's Diane Ravitch, the education historian, and it's a current one, and you can find that at the Washington Post, so you'll want to read that. And you can listen and download free anytime at this website. And please join us on the Education Now Facebook page or our Google Plus page to leave comments and join the conversation. Education Now is a production of the Hermeneutic Institute for Holistic Health and Education, a 501c3 nonprofit corporation. Education Now is a proud supporter of the American Montessori Society, and you can find them on their website at amshq.org. I'm sending you all much cosmic love and reminding you, in the words of Maria Montessori, to follow the child. This is your host, Athena Melville, saying goodbye until next time.
Are on the road must have a code that you can live by, and so become yourself, because the past
is just a goodbye. Teach your children well. Their father's hell did slowly go by. And feed them on your dreams. The one they picked, the one you know.